Welcome to Leadership Reimagined. I'm Dr. Jane Levis, your host. During each episode of Leadership Reimagined, we take a look at leadership from the vantage point of what it's going to take for leaders to lead their organizations forward into a new future. And in this episode, we're creating that new future. Today, I'd like to welcome Jamin Heppel, the co-creator and leadership coach of Mountains and Marathons, a revolutionary leadership development company that focuses on holistic transformation and completes each program with an epic physical challenge, such as running a marathon or climbing a mountain in iconic locations around the world. Jamin's clients have included senior executives of Fortune 500 companies, leaders of international nonprofits, founders of multi-million dollar startups, leaders in network marketing companies, ex-military, industry leaders in real estate, stay-at-home moms, and everyone in between. So welcome, Jamin. This is so exciting.
Jane, it's wonderful to be here, and thank you for that epic introduction.
Oh, you are so welcome. When I started reading that, and I thought, how you get these leaders talking about leadership, cause them to run a marathon or go mountain climbing or whatever else you do, you know, that really takes something.
Do you mean as a business owner or the person who's actually going and running the marathon and climbing the mountain?
Both, because as the business owner, you have got to really create this as an opportunity for them, that they are really going to get something more out of it than they put into it.
Yeah. I mean, if we look at the core principle behind what we do with the Aligned Leadership Program inside of Mountains and Marathons, it really is looking at leadership from a holistic standpoint and really concentrating on the inner game of leadership in order to serve and be a leader in the outer world. And so something that we were very much in touch with at the creation of Mountains and Marathons and the Aligned Leadership Program was really looking at the distinction of the future shapes how we show up in the now. So when we have an inspiring future to live into, it has a direct influence on our energy and the context in which we show up in this moment in time. So we knew that in addition to cultivating people's inner transformation, having this inspiring international physical challenge like running a marathon in Patagonia or climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, Everest Base Camp, or a marathon in Cape Town, South Africa, we knew that saying yes to this kind of leadership program inspires people from the moment that they say yes. It's like, whoa, I need to be showing up not just in terms of my inner transformation, but I need to be hitting the pavement, hitting the mountains, and actually having a physical transformation and getting my mindset right to take on this kind of physical challenge as a form of an exciting way to graduate their overall transformation across the course of the program.
Oh, and I love that. I love it because it's a very visceral experience, and it's a real visual experience. They see it and others can actually see it. You ran a marathon? I didn't even know you could walk around the block.
And for many people who say yes to this transformation, for many, it's the possibility of being able to call themselves a marathon runner or having summited one of these extraordinary mountains around the world that is often the initial impetus to say yes. And then when it's married with a journey of leadership development and personal development, those two tend to be a unique and powerful pair that inspire people to step into this kind of transformation. And yet what we often experience is by the time people join us internationally to, you know, climb Mount Kilimanjaro, when we meet in person at the bottom of the mountain, typically our members are sharing, you know what, Jamin, like, yes, I'm here at the bottom of the mountain, but I feel like I've already climbed my mountain just simply getting here. And so now this mountain climb gets to be a celebration of everything that I've accomplished across the course of the last 6 months.
Oh, yes. It's a real visual celebration. You know, we, as leaders, as people, we have a really hard time acknowledging our accomplishments. Oh, I just did it. Because especially for successful leaders, there's a belief that they're already a successful leader. They've got that already. So to add something like this on, and it's hard to actually see, you can experience successful leaders, but to see it in the same way that you see somebody climb a mountain, run a marathon, it's such an affirmation of all the work that they've put into it.
Absolutely. And, you know, because often too, and the reason why we do have a lot of, you know, senior leaders of companies and execs and also founders of incredible startup companies say yes to this is part of their intention is often to not only be an inspiration for themselves, but also to be an inspiration for their peers, their colleagues and coworkers, and be able to demonstrate like, hey, I've never run a marathon before, but here I am getting after something that is a challenge for me that as of right now, I can't do, but in 6 months' time, I'm going to do that. So in many cases, it serves as an inspiration for people who look up to our members, a chance to be a very material inspiration for others stepping into the kind of life that they want to live and stepping into new challenges that might feel edgy and scary for the people who follow the leaders who we work with.
I got it. I see that. A couple of years ago, I had not skied in 10 years. I created the possibility of skiing again. And now I've got a commitment for this winter to go every week. And when I took that on, that was so inspiring. You're so right. Because you've got to be inspired about something. Being inspired about something makes you do the things you don't want to do or give up the way you're being that is not, okay, no, I'm just going to sleep in on Saturday mornings. No, I've got something bigger and more important to do than sleep in on Saturday mornings, even if I would love to sleep in on Saturday mornings, because we're inspired by it.
Jane, you are speaking into something that is so core to the heart of what the Align Leadership Program in Mountains and Marathons is all about, which in its essence, it is about being lit up and inspired by who we are and what we do. Within Mountains and Marathons, what we call that is living in alignment. Mm-hmm. And so when we look at this, and I love that story you just shared of, you know, having not skied for 10 years. And then, in fact, let me ask you that question. Like, what was it that had you make that shift and get back into skiing and make that commitment to skiing, you know, every weekend?
I'll share the story. I've shared it enough. I can share it. And I was living into a story that I'm too old. Mm-hmm. It's nothing's going to change. Mm-hmm. Life is just the way it is. Mm-hmm. It's too old. At the time, I was 68. Mm. I will be 70 in May.
Awesome.
I really got. Age is just a number. I'm in really good physical shape. And I could be in a lot, you know, you're actually inspiring me to say, okay, I'm going to take this on to another new level. That saying, I'm going back to skiing. I didn't stop for any reason. Life just got in the way and I stopped. Once you stopped, skiing's a lot of work. It was real easy to not do it. It was comfortable. It became just the way things were. So I had a friend that she said, great, when are you going to go skiing? And I said, next winter, I'm going to go. Cause this was like in February.
Sure.
She said, no, not not then. She said, when are you going? I said, okay, Saturday. She said, good, I'm going with you. So the two of us went skiing and, you know.
Yep. There is so much in there's so much in this example of stepping into a simple yet profound transformation.
Right.
You know, like there you are having a passion for skiing, not skied for 10 years. And then, yeah, life kind of got in the way and it became easy not to. But then the paradigm of like, I'm too old started to get in the way of making the commitment to step into something that you're really passionate about.
Right.
And then notice though, you had a friend who said, hey, when are you going skiing again? Brought to the forefront of like, huh, why wouldn't I ski again? Okay, I'll do it in February. And then your friend went the next level and said, no, 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 when are you going skiing again? And he said, this Saturday. And inside of that, you gave your word, you made a declaration of like committing to this simple yet profound transformation of allowing you to step into more layers of fulfillment, of inspiration, of vitality, like all these things just in that simple moment. Now, it still took you something to show up on Saturday and go and get into it and get your body into shape to be able to follow through. But right. my sense is, and I can feel it in the way in which you share this story, is the energy and vitality that you get and who you get to know yourself to be as someone who is now almost 70 years old and consistently skiing on the weekend. Like, you're lit up by yourself.
Right.
Like, you're like, I'm inspiring.
Yeah, exactly. Almost all I have to do, what I had created was being audacious.
Wonderful.
I had been living life day to day complacent. And the biggest thing I remember is it was the absolute perfect day to go skiing. It was cold, clear, crisp. Mm-hmm. We're up at the top and you can just see almost forever.
Mm, beautiful.
And it's like, this is why I ski. That's what it is. It's whatever we're inspired by that we take actions and do, it's like a visceral feeling that wants us to continue.
Absolutely. And, you know, and even this story that you're sharing, it actually, there's similarities between the reason why Mountains and Marathons got created as a company in the first place. To kind of bring a bit of history into this is, all throughout my 20s, I was running three independent leadership development companies, all focusing on the transformation and leadership development and resilience of teenagers. And I was working my tail off to have these organizations have a positive impact in my communities back home in Australia. I remember it so clearly. It was on the 19th of July of 2016, I had a massive breakdown. And in that, my head was in my hands, bawling my eyes out, and I was feeling pretty sorry for myself. And the source of it was, I was like, I am just over this. I am like, I'm miserable. I'm feeling depressed. Mm-hmm. I'm lacking motivation. And yet externally, beyond this inner world, this inner experience, people were seeing me as like the guy that was leading three successful organizations, was able to, you know, getting up on stages and speaking, working with hundreds, if not thousands, of young people across Australia and also a little bit in North America, receiving awards and public acknowledgement. Like, externally, things look really pretty. And that had all been its own creation and a reputation that I wanted to have. My inner world was certainly not reflective of what my outer world looked like. And so I'm in this moment having this massive breakdown, bawling my eyes out. And then after about a couple of hours of letting it go, I had a simple but profound epiphany. What came through was, I created this mess. I created all of my suffering. And so then I thought to myself, okay, well, if I created all of this, then I can create my way out of it. And so then I thought, okay, well, if I can create anything in the world, like, what would I actually be doing? And so for a moment, I just put aside all of my obligation, all of my responsibilities to what I was currently doing, and thought, okay, like, just imagine. And within 5 minutes, it hit me. I was like, I'd be running marathons, climbing mountains, traveling the world, transforming my life, and working out some way to help other people do the same. And so in a way, that was kind of it. The next day, I got up, I phoned my best friend, my business partner, my family, and I said, hey, guys, like, I'm done. And I need to do this. Like, I need to step into this adventure called Mountains and Marathons and fundamentally transform and shake up the foundations of my life to step into and actually discover if I can live into my full potential. And after that, it was, and so if we look at that even as a principle, similar to what your friend helped you do, you're like, I'm going skiing on Saturday. That was a declaration. You gave your word to that, and then you showed up and you did the thing. Similarly, that for me was my declaration of like, hey guys, in 2 years, I'm letting all of this go and I'm going to step into this journey called Mountains and Marathons. And beyond, after that, in a synchronistic kind of way, there was a series of events that took place that continued to demonstrate that it was like, well, Mountains and Marathons is what you need to do. And a good example of that was when I met Jenny 6 months after making that declaration. Jenny, we began to date romantically for 3 months. I shared the vision with her about Mountains and Marathons. Initially, she was a bit hesitant and then came around. And then within 8 months of dating, we'd formed this business together called Mountains and Marathons. And 2 months later, we then took off on a one-way flight to Germany and began traveling the world and building out the foundations of the Aligned Leadership Program, with our first program being the Patagonia Marathon in Chile back in September of 2018. Now, obviously, I could share a lot more stories about what's happened since then, as our company's almost 5 years old now. But this place of noticing a level of discontentment in my own life and feeling misaligned, and then really listening for what would the most aligned and inspiring version of my life be, making a declaration around that, and then taking committed and aligned action to bring that to life.
What's so powerful about your discontent and my discontent is that leaders at all levels have this same discontent. They're going through the motions very often, being a leader, looking on the outside. As you said, everybody looked at you like, oh, look at what Jamin's doing. He is so successful. He's so running three companies. He's got it all together.
And that's, and it can be a facade. And at the thing that I have empathy for too, particularly when we look at high levels of leadership, corporate leadership executives or the founder, CEO of a company, is that there is a particular place in which we as leaders need to hold our grounded place. Yep. and present strongly for the organization. Because it is important for those who follow us to feel held and to feel as though the person in charge here has direction and yes. has clarity and in a way has it together. And I've got a tremendous amount of empathy for anyone in that circumstance. And it is important to acknowledge, well, it's important for each of these leaders to acknowledge that I am human and I have my own struggles and that's okay. So then the question then becomes, where do these people go to get the kind of insight and support and community that enables them to be their human selves and have their vulnerabilities and insecurities, and where they can be sharpening the saw and working on their leadership skills so that when they move into their leading their teams or outward facing for the company that they represent, that there is a groundedness and a stability and a solidarity because they're doing the inner work behind the scenes inside of with a coach or inside something like the Aligned Leadership Program, where they get a moment to fall apart and yes. go, you know what, I don't have it all together. And our role is to support these people to be able to deepen their skill sets and have more tools, resources, and community to be able to navigate the challenging layers of the human side of what it means to be a leader of some of these big companies.
Exactly. That's so powerful. That's why executive leadership coaches exist. Even though it's important for leaders to be authentic in their leadership within their companies, there are times that you need a place to fall apart, and falling apart in front of your employees is not appropriate, but you got to have a safe place to do that.
Bingo. And from my standpoint, there's nothing inauthentic about that because it's all contextual. And, you know, there are certain relations that we're going to cultivate in the workplace where there are deeper levels of safety in yes. which we can then step into greater levels of vulnerability. And yet there is also looking at what is the professional responsibility that we have for showing up in fullness. Mm-hmm. And even you and I as executive leadership coaches, similarly, like we need to be able to show up and hold in fullness whatever's going on for the other person who we're serving in this moment, even when we're dealing with our own stuff. Hence why us as coaches, we need to have coaches. So we've got our safe place and community to be able to work on our stuff so that we can then show up as a clear vessel for transformation to take place over there in the person that we're serving.
Absolutely. Well, so what got you into leadership coaching?
To go, to be as concise as possible and yet have the story make sense. Ever since I was 12 years old, I've been passionate about leadership and passionate about sport and health. If you look at my leadership resume from high school, it was captain of the football team in year 8, and it was captain of the basketball team and house captain and student leader all the way up until being school captain. And so leadership, and particularly in a sporting context, was something that I always gravitated towards. Never had the context for what it meant to be a leader, but something about, I was just always pulled to taking on these layers of responsibility and representing people. When I was 17 and I was school captain back in a little country town high school called Leingatha in Southeast Victoria in Australia, I got invited to be a part of a leadership development program run by YMCA Victoria that brought together 60 young leaders from across the state to be inside a 6-day retreat where it was facilitated by 12 passionate volunteers who would take us through, in essence, kind of personal development 101, strengths, weaknesses, optimism, pessimism, vision for the future, learning about emotional intelligence and emotional regulation, just a lot of these basic skills. I remember that in that week, first of all, it was the first time I'd ever removed myself from the bubble of my small town and got exposed to a whole bunch of diversity, cultural diversity and diversity of intellect in a leadership context. And I remember coming off the back of that experience, it was just one of the most profoundly transformative experiences of my life. I remember so distinctly on the last day, I was like, what you have facilitated for me in reference to the facilitators, mm-hmm. what you have led for me, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that professionally, and I'm going to do this even bigger and better than what's being facilitated here. So if we look at that as a foundation, I reflect back on this and go, it was quite a privilege to be deeply in touch with a strong sense of purpose and a strong sense of vision of who I wanted to be and what I wanted to do at the age of 17. After that, it was then simply a matter of saying yes to every opportunity that came my way. So I began to volunteer every school holidays, working with teenagers and then leading workshops, designing workshops. At 22, I founded my first organization called Game Changers Australia, which looked at how sport could play a role in social change. Every school holidays, we're running our own residential leadership camps for 16-year-old leaders from grassroots sporting clubs around Australia. And then that then transpired into leading an organization and creating an organization called The Man Cave with my best friend Hunter. We'd go into schools and work with year 7 to year 12 boys around deconstructing, challenging, and redefining masculinity and looking at all of these important topics of conversation around what it means to be a healthy man in today's day and age. And so we would go into schools, and ultimately, you know, by the age of 27, I'd work with 15,000 young people across Australia and North America. In all of that, I was doing all of this work, getting lots of experience being with people and whilst doing, you know, short courses and different trainings along the way. And yet at some point I knew I was going to make a pivot and work with adults. And it was my burnout and then getting in touch with the vision of mountains and marathons that was the catalyst for the evolution and stepping into this new domain of leadership, and specifically serving as a transformational leadership coach in a group setting and in a one-on-one setting and on the side of mountains.
What I hear in all of that, and I really acknowledge you for that. One, your clear vision at 17. So few people have that.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. And then taking all that experience, a leader in athletics, and to switch it and become the leadership leader for corporations and bring the sports, the physicalness to that is really amazing and really so purposeful, so meaningful, because there is such, when you have control of your body, there's a whole new sense of control and power that you have. I mean, I've always been very athletic. I started water skiing when I was 7 years old and started snow skiing when I was 12. So, and when I was growing up, we didn't have very many sport teams for girls, but we did it. We just, in the community that I grew up in, there were lots of, you know, my neighborhood, we played baseball, football, all of that. Our football, American football, not soccer. Had no clue what soccer was at that time.
Sure.
That clarity of vision and then that ability to swap, because I know that that gives me a sense of who I am in a way that people that don't have that, and it's not like you have to be a great athlete, but there's a sense of yourself that's different than your know-how of being a leader.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a couple of layers to this, you know, because one part of my story that I didn't share was that in my early 20s, I actually started working as a personal trainer. And inside of that journey of like leading people to have major fitness breakthroughs and transformations was getting more and more in touch with the emotional body and the spiritual body of people, and, starting to notice patterns of that. Actually, it's not the bigger transformation that needs to take place here. It doesn't look like less weight. It actually looks like letting go of that spiritual and psychological dead weight to create the body. So the body, the one's own spirit has a deep level of alignment and integrity to then support the transformation of the physical body. I wouldn't necessarily have had language for that like that at the time, but this was the pattern that I began to notice. And so a curiosity began to open up inside of me of, okay, how do I begin to work more with people's emotional body? How do I begin to work more with people at the spiritual level and get breakthrough and be able to let go of limiting beliefs and emotional blocks that no longer serve them or have been getting in the way of a physical transformation? And now in the context of how I facilitate leadership coaching, stepping into deeper levels of responsibility with more peace of mind, more personal power, and a greater sense of purpose. And once I got more connected to that, it then became obvious for me that it's the inner transformation that helps facilitate the outer transformation. And I am a huge believer in the healing and expansive powers of Mother Nature. And so when we actually condition, just like you were sharing, when we actually condition our bodies to be able to step into these harsh environments or step into these big audacious challenges like running a marathon, it invites in a physical capability to be more present and more connected to Mother Nature and actually allow her to be a teacher more so than what may show up inside of a coaching conversation, which is also one of the reasons why we love to complete our programs with these massive adventures of running a marathon or climbing a mountain in different parts of the world, is that like what we know is that when people show up inside these environments, simply creating that kind of separation from the everyday life and then allowing each individual to be on their own unique experience with Mother Nature on the side of a mountain or running a marathon is a really profound way for people to let go of stuff they've been holding on to and get more clarity on what they're capable of and more clarity on what they want to step into in the future.
Oh, that is so powerful. So true. And so powerful. Well, Jamin, if you can imagine, our time's just about up. This has been like a Zooming conversation. So what one last thing would you like to share?
When I feel into this, the one thing that I invite anyone in leadership to do is to take a moment to reflect on who you are and who you want to be as a leader beyond the title in the workplace. Mm-hmm. It's like actually allowing yourself to take a moment to remove all these layers of responsibility and obligation and just be like, okay, if I could wave the magic wand and create myself as I would love to be, how would I describe that? How would I describe my romantic relationship, my social life, my financial status, my career, the way my colleagues describe me, my vision, my purpose, my character, my intellect, my emotional intelligence? Like reflecting on all of these domains of life areas, meaning like, if I could wave the magic wand, what would I love to create my life to be? From this place, I call that clarity. Mm-hmm. And if people can have actually have genuine clarity on who they want to be and how they want to be and what they want to create in the world, this now creates a, well, in a way, if we want to use the mountain metaphor, it creates the mountaintop. So then from this place, it's a matter of then being, okay, what do I need to let go of and what do I need to step into in order to bring this possibility, this vision to life? So that would be the first place, is start with clarity and really hone in on who do I want to be, how do I want to be, and what difference do I want to make in the world?
Thank you. That is powerful. Because if you don't know who you are and what you want, who you want to be and what you want to do, you're going to just do whatever.
Like a bottle in the ocean.
Yep, exactly. Well, Jamin, this has just been so great today.
I've had a lot of fun, Jane, and I appreciate your enthusiasm and I appreciate your zest for life and the way in which you also inspire people to go and get after it and step into deeper levels of inspiration. As you know, I'm in touch with all the reasons why you could not be doing what you're doing, and yet I see you showing up in your fullness, which is it creates a space of permission for other people to step in and do the same.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us this week on Leadership Reimagined. I encourage you to take something that you heard today and apply it in your business. The key to progress is action and sharing. I'd love to hear what you accomplish. Email me at jlovis@lovisconsulting.com and let me know. Speaking of applying it in your business, if you're struggling or looking to expand your leadership skills, let's talk. You can go to lovisconsulting.com. That's L-O-V as in Victor, A-S, consulting.com, and schedule a quick call with me. We need powerful, strong, compassionate leaders to solve the challenges we are facing today. Please subscribe on your favorite platform and share with your friends and family. Thank you for supporting us as we cause and expand 1 million women leaders in tech by 2030. Have a great week, and I look forward to seeing you next week.